The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us once again this week as we continue and conclude our message that God doesn't change his mind. Now, this is a very important message, and so because of that, I'm just going to take the whole program. We're going to get right into the Word of God, and I'm just going to close it out with this message. So stay tuned, listen closely, and enjoy hearing about what the Word of God has to say, that God doesn't change his mind.
Somehow or another, I feel like Brother Hagin, some way, somehow, by hook or crook, he got filled with the Holy Ghost that night. Hallelujah. Oh my. So we started an adventure, he and I. And I took those scriptures and I read them and I studied them. Now here's what you got to know about me at the time. Like I said, I was the youngest deacon in the church. I was highly respected. College student, you know. And pastor at that time let me preach on Sunday nights. Didn't have the Holy Ghost, but I preached, you know. And I usually preached on Second Coming, because that's all I really wanted to study. Anyway, so I would preach on that, and everybody would go, okay, whatever. And, you know, we're talking the 70s. So I go that back to Denton, and I told my pastor, Pastor, can I preach Sunday night? Sure, Brother Bill. So I got my Bible, and I got my sheet of mimeographed notes, and I preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's sitting back there. Now, you got Herbert Baker. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But Herbert Baker was this skinny, scrawny guy. He was a missionary to Brazil. Spoke fluent Portuguese. White hair. Little skinny guy. He's sitting on the back row going, oh, his eyes got as big as saucers. He heard me talk about speaking in other tongues. He said, oh. He was freaked out. So I said, who'd like to receive this tonight? And three ladies got up. And he says, Brother Bill. All of a sudden, he said, Brother Bill, take him to the back. Okay, Pastor. I'm ignorant. Okay. So I took him to the back. And I prayed over him, you know, to receive the Holy Ghost. And all spoke in tongues. Well, he immediately went, oh my goodness. And he went off and he studied. He came back the next Sunday night. Didn't do it Sunday morning, praise the Lord. But Sunday night he came back and preached while speaking in tongues was of the devil. Now, I want you to think about something. I'm a 16, 17-year-old kid. And I loved my pastor. And my pastor said it was of the devil. And I thought, what if it's really of the devil? I thought I was in some weird cult when it happened. Maybe I shouldn't do this. And so people gave me books. Why speaking in tongues with the devil? He gave me tracts, all kinds of stuff. And I mean, as a kid, I was inundated with people wanting me to stop. But I got hit by a lightning bolt from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Something happened. So I said, Lord, now here's the thing. Stepping back a step. I was a very unusual Baptist. Even before I received baptism of the Holy Ghost. I talked to the Lord, and he talked back. Okay? I didn't know you weren't supposed to do that. Okay? So I'd ask him questions, he'd answer me. So I said, Lord, what about this? It's okay. It's what I got in my spirit. It's okay. He said, it's in the scripture, right? I said, yeah. But I said, I gotta know. Well, here's the thing, as a young, super young Christian, my knowing was I had to hear something from the outside or I had to feel something. You know what I'm saying? I was not educated in spiritual things. And so I said, Lord, I need some kind of proof. So here's what I'm going to do. Now, I'd gone back. This happened in Raleigh. I went back to Raleigh. I was sitting under a tree at the NC State campus outside from Matt's apartment. And I said, Lord, I'm going to pray in tongues one more time. This is it. And you need to show me if this is real. Quite a challenge for a kid talking to God. So I said, here we go. And I started speaking in tongues. And there was one word that was like lit up in lights, and I heard it, and it just stuck in my head. And that was the word lingui. I said lingui. Okay? I said, all right, what's happening? So I thought, well, what do I do? I went back to my high school, and I went to our library, and I started looking through books. And lingui, I mean, I didn't even know how it's spelled. But they had this big wooden stand with a giant monster dictionary on it. They had all the word derivations in it. And so I'm looking through, and I found the word lingui. It was Latin, and it means the tongue. So I went, okay, Lord, that's it. That's proof. That's where I was at, okay? The word was enough, but I needed a word that I could remember and go look it up in the dictionary and find out that it meant the same as the word tongue, and actually the word linguistics comes from it. But that was my proof. And so, man, I threw away the tracts, I threw away the books where they were trying to get me convinced. I read the scripture, and I was charismatic, crazy-matic, totally. And so I went to every meeting I could go to. I did everything I could think of. And before too long, because I am one of those people who won't compromise just by nature, I got to where I was preaching a little too hard in the Baptist church. With my buddy Ted Potts, who was youth leader, that I'd gotten filled with the Holy Ghost. Because he felt like he needed something else. And I said, I know what you need. And he ended up speaking in other tongues, and he got all fired up and excited, and we got a hold. He and I went to High Point, North Carolina, to where the Wesleyan, you know, Academy is. There at the end of that little block is a building that I think is they now use for their food service. Little building there. Used to be a Christian bookstore. And he and I would go, we would just go traveling at Christian bookstores everywhere we could. We went to High Point, we went to this little Christian bookstore. I don't know if it was a Wesleyan Christian bookstore, but it was a Christian bookstore. And I went in there, and there was a book called What Is Faith? By Kenneth E. Hagin. And I picked up that book, and I read the book standing there in the bookstore. And Ted came over and said, you shouldn't be reading the book in the bookstore. You should buy it. I said, okay. This is good. You got to read this. So we bought the little book, took it back to Denton, and he devoured that book. Ted just, he borrowed it and just read it. Well, before too long, we were preaching the Word of Faith. Preaching it in the Southern Baptist Church. This is where we received the Left Foot Fellowship from among the Baptists. And we went out and started a church in Denton. I mean, you know, they literally kicked us out. They told us, actually, they were a little bit nicer than that. They didn't kick us out, like excommunicate us. They told us we couldn't teach anymore. We couldn't hold office in the church. We weren't supposed to talk to anybody. But we could come. Well, we were young and turned on to the Word. And so we said, okay, we're not going to do this. We're just going to go down the road. Look, Denton is a small town. 900 people. So you couldn't get very far. You know what I'm saying? So a little ways down the road, we found a building for rent. We rented it for $100 a month. Hallelujah. This was in the 70s. Don't you love it? And so we rented a little building, and we started having meetings Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Started having church. And we organized the church. We got it all set up. Did all the legal work. And they ordained me a minister July 7th, 1977. All right? Now, that was July of 77. Later that year, this is where I'm getting to, I'm confessing my fault, okay? Later that year, I went to a Bible study. And it was at a pastor's house. Well, he wasn't a pastor then, he's a pastor now, but wasn't a pastor then. But I went to his house, and he had a Bible study in his house. We did a lot of that back then, Bible studies in houses, okay? Because there weren't any that I knew of, word churches, other than ours that we had started, which we called Covenant Faith Ministries. We originally called it Latter Rain Christian Fellowship, but we eventually changed the name to Covenant Faith Ministries. And so, got ordained by them, had our meeting, happy as a clam, go to this local Bible study. And there was a guy there that I had never met. As far as I know, I never saw him again. He just came that one time to teach the Bible study. Well, instead of teaching like we were used to, he starts moving in the Holy Ghost. Well, I'd had a little exposure to that, but not a lot. And so he says, this brother points to me. Come up here. So I go, okay. So I stand up, and he looks at me. He says, the Lord says, as big as you are on the outside, you're bigger on the inside. Well, you know, part of me went, really? Slightly insulting, you know what I'm saying? As big as you are on the outside, you're bigger on the inside. But that's not really the way I took it. I went, really? Oh, cool. It really struck me. And then he said, the Lord wants to minister to you. He laid his hand on my head, and I hit the floor. I mean, I don't remember falling. I was on the floor. And I was not only on the floor, I was out. I was unaware anybody else was in the room. And something very unusual happened. I saw the Lord. But it wasn't an open vision. It was in the Spirit. And I saw the Lord. I saw his head. I saw his shoulders. I saw his arms. Everything else around him was like a cloud of white. But I saw him, and he said, I've called you and anointed you into a healing ministry. And I thought, Lord, I don't want it. Now, I'm laying there on the floor, and I'm talking to the Lord. He said, I've called, he said it again, I called you and anointed you into a healing ministry. Now, hold out your hand. Now, here's the funny thing. I held out my hand, but I didn't know if I was doing it physically or just in the spirit. You know what I mean? It was the strangest thing. I still to this day don't know if I was laying on the floor with my arm like this. But to me, I was holding out my hand. And the Lord touched my hand, the center of my hand, and he says, now, when you're ministering the word, now remember, I was teaching off and on, but not by any means a lot. I went on radio in 1976, so this is a year after I'd gone on radio. But he touched my hand, and it started to burn. And he said, now you are to lay hands on people that need to receive their healing, and say, and he was very specific, he said, and say, in the name of Jesus. That's it. No teaching, no going on and on, just in the name of Jesus. Well, I thought, okay. Now, remember, I'm in the Spirit, and here's the Lord, and I'm going, okay. And I'm feeling my hand burning, going, what do I do with this? Well, I didn't know what to do with it, and so I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do? He said, I want you to read Acts chapter 19, which is where we just were a minute ago. Acts chapter 19, and specifically, let's start in verse 10. This they continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. So we got to preach the word, absolutely. Both Jews and Greeks, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And the Lord showed me that and said, I'm giving you a special anointing that is tangible. Now, after this, I heard Brother Hagin talk about when he received a special anointing. Now, I've had people ask me that I've shared this with, did this happen before or after you heard Brother Hagin share what happened to him? I don't honestly know. Truly. I don't know whether I already heard it on a tape or whatever. All I can tell you is it happened to me. And it was different. He didn't lay hands on, his finger in both hands. He just did on my right hand. And he gave me a slightly different instruction. But he did that. And I read the scripture and I thought, special miracles, special miracles. Well, I did a little study on this. And Brother Hagin actually has a teaching on this about special miracles. And talks about those that are called into a special healing ministry having a unique anointing in that area. And he talked about the fact that the anointing is tangible. It is real. It is actual. And it is transferable, which is why when we lay hands on claws, those claws can contain that anointing and take that anointing elsewhere. Brother Hagin's got a big teaching on this. You can go check it out and read it or hear it on tape. But, and by the way, I will say this, and I mentioned this to Pastor as well. I have pretty much all of Brother Hagin's teaching on MP3. And so if you're interested, I can get you copies of different things. But anyway, so I listened to this about the healing anointing and about it being tangible, about being a power. And he even said this, and I found this fascinating because I was so into this, studying this. He said, I don't know why it is exactly, but the tangible anointing seems to transfer into cloth, but not paper. I don't know why that is, but he said, talk to him, not me, that it was a cloth. And this is, he said, and this is the scripture, handkerchiefs are aprons, cloth-based, tangible anointing can be transferred using that. So I thought, well, all right, Lord, I still don't want to do this. But he didn't say any more to me about it, and I got up and I went home. Later that week, we went back to our church, our little church here in Denton. And I shared this. I was pretty excited, although a little reticent. I wasn't sure I was, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I was so young in the Lord. And so I shared this, and I said, so, now as I shared it, my hand began to burn. I said, is there anyone here? I said, my hand is beginning to burn. Is there anyone here that needs to receive their healing? And this guy jumped up off the back chair and comes running up. And I knew him because I knew everybody there. It was only about 12 of us. Yeah. I knew who he was, and I knew he was from Ashbury area. But he says, yes. Okay. So I thought, well, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. I just laid one hand on his forehead. I said, in the name of Jesus. And he went, bam, hit the floor like a sack of potatoes. And I went, okay. And then there was somebody else came up, and I ministered to them. They went out. Somebody else went up. They went out. And so after that, this guy, whose name was Neil, this is his first name, Neil jumps up and runs. I thought, what is up? He ran to the bathroom. And the next thing you know, I hear screaming coming from the bathroom. It's gone! He comes running back. And I said, what's gone, Neil? He said, I had a growth. Now, this, bear with me here. Get a little technical. He had a growth on his testicles. And it was a knot. And it was growing larger and larger and larger. When I laid hands on him, that thing went bam and was gone. Instantly gone. He felt it lay on the floor, jump up, go to check himself, checked himself, and his testicles were normal. And he jumped up and ran back, I'm healed. He was just freaking out, excited. Well, you know what it did to a young Baptist boy? Scared the daylights out of me. Because I didn't know anything about this stuff. I didn't grow up in it. I didn't have any exposure to it. I'd never been to a meeting where anybody was doing any of this. And so I said, whoa, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Well, ever since then, the Lord's been dealing with, what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? How long has it been now? Almost 40 years. What are you going to do about that? So here's where I'm confessing my fault. I should have been obedient. Now here's the thing. He gave me later instruction. He didn't quit talking to me. A lot of things happened. Now I didn't lay hands on folks and say in the name of Jesus and do all those things. I didn't have the tangible anointing burning, but I preached the word and laid hands on folks and people got healed. And there was, at one time, I walked in a very strong supernatural ministry. Such that I've had literally the blind healed in my ministry several times. Went to Jamaica and preached down there. Had people healed there of crippling arthritis, instantly healed. All kinds of things happen. Supernatural ministry, yes, and I've seen it, and I've had words from the Lord, and all kinds of things. But in the back of my mind, there's always been this little thing. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? And every so often, I've had, right here in this church, I've had situations where I'd be sitting there and somebody would come up for healing and pastor would call Brother Benny. Benny, come up here and pray with me. And I'd be going, oh, I got to go up there. I got to go up there. I don't want to do that. And I'd resist it. And pastor didn't call me. Because here's the thing about the Lord. He won't embarrass you, but he will deal with you. He'll deal with you. And that's what he did. He dealt with me. All these years he dealt with me about it. I went down to the ICFM convention in April. Nobody called me out. Nobody laid hands on me. It wasn't anything like that. But I'm sitting there in the meeting listening. And the Lord said, what are you going to do about that? I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I should have been obedient this whole time. Here's what he said when I did that. He said, son, how many people would have received their healing had you been obedient? And I said, oh, Lord, I never thought of it that way. It never hit me. And I thought to myself, well, I know God's merciful, and I know his grace, and I know his mercy. I know that there are people who got healed other ways that might have been healed through this healing ministry. And as he dealt with me about it, and I sat there, I told him, I said, here's what I'll do. I will tell the folks at Faith and Victory. And if you see fit to use me in that ministry, because here's the thing, I'll say this, and this is where I was talking about this with Help Young Ministers. If the Lord deals with you about something like this and you stop on purpose and you say, I don't want to do that, the prompting will get less. And he'll get a little quieter about it. And the tangible anointing will be less. And finally, you won't feel it. Okay? That's what happens. Now, remember the scripture we read? The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He doesn't change his mind. He has never changed his mind about me being in the healing ministry. Never. Because he made that decision. That's the way it is. That's God. But I was holding out. I didn't want to do it. And he said, I don't care what you want to do, you need to do it. So I said, all right, Lord, here's what I'll do. I will confess this, confess your faults. That's what I'm doing. Confess this to the body there. And just be available. I'm available. If he wants to use me in that fashion, I'm available. Now, I have seen, I've been in meetings like Catherine Kuhlman. I was a usher in one of her meetings, and I saw tremendous miracles. Like I said, I've seen the supernatural in my life. It's not that I've been completely insulated from it, but I just didn't want to participate so much. You know what I'm saying? There's just something in me that was like, I don't want to be the center of attention. I don't want people looking to me. I already told you the story one time about the lady, because I was on the radio, she called me up and said, Brother Bill, will you pray for me to receive her healing? And I was like, I was cooking supper. I had steak out there. I just put out in the plate. I was just ready to eat it. And I was like, oh, man. Was not feeling spiritual at all. She calls up and says, will you pray? And I thought, well, be instant in season, out of season. I quote that scripture myself a lot. Be instant in season and out of season. So I said, yeah, okay. You know, according to the Word of God, Jesus bore sickness, character, disease. I prayed a Mickey Mouse prayer. I mean, I didn't blow her off, but it was kind of like, yeah, you know, half attempt. And so, hung up the phone, went back to my supper. I was fine. 1 month later, I go hold a meeting in Lexington, North Carolina, which I used to do back then a lot. And this was at the Holiday Inn, and we had the meeting. And this lady walks up to me and says, hi, Brother Bill. I called you on the phone, and you prayed for me. I thought, this is that lady. And I immediately felt guilty, miserable guilty. I said, well, sister, praise the Lord. What did God heal you of? I was blind. I went, what? And the lady next to her said, yep, I can say it. She's been blind her whole life. Standing there going, praise the Lord. And it was like the Lord was saying, see there, see there. Little Mickey Mouse prayer, and this lady gets healed of blindness. And I felt about that big. And the Lord said this to me in my spirit, real loud. I didn't hear it with the ears on the side of my head. But he said, see, it's not you. It's not your prayer. I just need you to be an instrument. And this is what he's been dealing with me about since that meeting. Just be there. Be an instrument. And I wondered to myself, if, as I mentioned this tonight, if I would feel the tangible anointing, but I don't. Praise the Lord. Y'all are healed and whole. Hallelujah. And I thought about talking to Pastor and said, hey, Pastor, can I have one of the healing meetings, maybe? I said, no, I'm just going to do what the Lord told me and confess my fault and just wait. Don't do anything fast. Now, don't wait 40 years to obey God either. Bless your darling heart, my darling heart. We ought to be obedient. We ought to be willing and obedient. But, you know, it's like Brother Hagin. He was obedient, but he wasn't willing in that particular situation he talked about. I need to get willing and obedient. Well, I am now willing, and I am obedient. If he wants to use me in healing ministry, Lord, have at it. But it's nothing I'm going to work up. It's nothing I'm going to try. I'm just going to be available. I will say this. The Lord's dealt with me quite a bit. We see a lot of supernatural things here at Faith and Victory Church. We really do. Prayer calls go out here. Pastor's got an anointing to lay hands on those calls, and miracles are happening. We see that. We see Belinda get a new heart. We see all kinds. We see financial miracles. We see people who weren't doing well financially, all of that turn around. And I'm sorry, but a lot of us, I think, take it for granted. Well, that's just the way it is at Faith and Victory. Well, yeah, praise the Lord, that's good. But praise God, we ought to be thankful that the power of God is in manifestation, that God's willing to move and do some things. And so I believe, this is just me, but I believe that those of us who have been reticent to do what God's told them to do and act on what God's told them to say aren't going to do that anymore. We're going to step out. That's what I want to do, is step out and do what God's called me to do. Now, he told me back in August 1980, proclaim the word of faith, be a showcase of ministries, train people to feel the word of God. I have meditated on that. I have studied that. To the best of my ability, I've done that. And I'm like Brady Harrison. When I heard him say that he would never get out of the helps ministry, something in my heart went, yes, me too. I will never get out of the helps ministry. I'm as happy as a clam back there running the video. That is a ministry. I'm telling you what, we're reaching thousands of people every month with video and audio that's coming out of this church. We look at small groups of folks here and go, well, man, we're doing some powerful ministry out there around the world. So I'm happy back there doing that. But the Lord's called me to step out in some areas. And so I'm just making myself available. That's all I can say. And I'll just do what he just says to do when he says to do it. And I ran a little bit longer than I wanted to. Thought it was going to be short. But, you know, I have a hard time being short-winded. I'm like John Osteen. The short-winded shall speak again. Well, I need to get a little more revelation of that. But praise the Lord, I trust you received something out of this. I certainly did, because I was obedient to what the Lord told me to do. And it was hard. You never want to admit a fault. But I am human, and I make mistakes. And this was a long, dumb mistake. But I repent, and now I'm getting on the right road. Praise the Lord. All right.
The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.